unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. In the name of Jesus, dear fellow redeemed, this morning we turn our attention to the book of Psalms, the song book and the prayer book of the Bible. The messages from the Psalms can be arranged in various categories. For example, 17 of the Psalms are categorized as messianic Psalms. They speak about the promised Messiah and the Savior of the world. This morning we direct our attention to one of the messianic Psalms, of which the theme is, O Lord, how excellent is your name. We read in Psalm 8, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the Son of Man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. The excellency or the superiority of God is seen in the whole work of creation. God did what no human being could do. He created. That is, he made something out of nothing. The Genesis account reports that in the beginning, God said, let there be, and there was. He created all these things in 6 normal days. In another of the Psalms, it is written, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. And in another, the psalmist writes, you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will endure. Yes, they will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will change them, and they shall be changed. But you are the same, and your years will have no end. The same truth is proclaimed by the prophet Jeremiah in the words, the Lord is the one true God. He is the living God and the everlasting King. He has made the earth by his power. He has established the world by his wisdom and has stretched out the heavens at his discretion. And the writer of the Epistle to the Hebrews in the New Testament says, every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. And then referring to the whole creation of the world, the writer says, he upholds all things by the word of his power. In our text, the psalmist says, take a good look. Consider the heavens, the work of his hands. Look at the sun and the moon and the stars. How wonderful are all of those bright luminary bodies. How beautiful are the clouds tinted when the sun is rising or when the sun is setting. The beauty of God is seen in all of creation. He also has given us 4 seasons. And Scripture tells us that as long as this earth remains, there will be 4 seasons. We have his promise. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not perish from the earth. There are people who talk and speak as if some of this is all going to cease and we're not going to have all these seasons and we'll lack food and who knows what. as long as this earth stands, there will be four seasons, seed time and harvest, spring and fall and summer and winter and day and night. Some years ago, one of the astronauts said that when you're out there orbiting the earth, you simply can't help but believe there is a God. Yes, there always has been ample evidence that anyone who says there is no God, who denies that God created all things and that everything came into existence by God, that individual is not showing any intelligence, but rather his or her ignorance. Even people who do not belong to any kind of a church, but who have some degree of honesty, will admit there is a God. Speaking of the Gentile world, that is, the unbelievers, the non-Christians, the Apostle Paul wrote in his epistle to the Romans that what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. People everywhere are totally without excuse when they deny the existence of God. All of the man-made theories of evolution that deny God's creation and that claim that this whole earth all came into existence somehow by itself or on its own are simply making an attempt to dethrone God and to elevate themselves as if they are really somebody intelligent. It is simply evidence of man's pride and arrogance. When sinful pride is left to run rampant, then of course we see something else between sinful pride and greed and power and the effort of people in their pride to gain power and greed for all of the things on this earth. These things are linked together. Man's ungodly pride for power, of course, Scripture tells us, results in war and fighting among us. And on this particular Sunday, December the 7th, we remember 73 years ago, Pearl Harbor. However, when we recognize who God is and what he has done and what he will do, and we can't help but come forth and praise him, then we will say with the psalmist, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. When speaking of God's excellency and superiority and glory, the psalmist calls attention to the fact that this is something that even little children recognize. The psalmist wrote, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength. Little children can recognize the hand of God in our whole creation. In fact, sometimes little children recognize it better than educated and grown adults. Recall that when Jesus made his triumphant entry into the city of Jerusalem on that first Palm Sunday, it was the adults, and in particular, the religious leaders, who were so upset. Scripture reports, when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. They were indignant and said to him, do you hear what these are saying? And Jesus said to them, yes. Have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise? Jesus quoted from this psalm, which is our text, and he identified himself as the Messiah, the promised Savior. God's excellency and his superiority is recognized not only in the creation, but also in our redemption. After God had created Adam and Eve, our first parents, he gave them the glory of being above everything that he had created. He created them in his own image. That is, they were sinless, two perfect people. And then he gave them dominion to rule over the whole creation. It was a perfect world. But what happened? They were tempted. They were tempted by the devil and they disobeyed God. They sinned and they lost that divine image. And they became enemies of God and servants of Satan himself. Now, in that setting, the psalmist's question comes, what is man that you are mindful of him? Who should care about a creature that was created perfect and then sinned? The creature created perfect by the Almighty God, and then that creature, those human beings, rebelled against the Almighty God. And so the psalmist asks, who should really care? Who should care? God cared. God cared so much that he prepared the plan of salvation. God would send his own son into the world to live that perfect life in our place and to take upon himself the sins of all people and go to Calvary's cross and pour forth his holy, precious blood. In the course of time, in that first pre-Christmas season, the Son of God was born in Bethlehem. The Son of God became also the Son of Man. Now the God-man, Christ Jesus, in one person, was made, Scripture says, a little lower than the angels. Jesus, the Son of God, did not always use all of his divine powers for a period of time while here on earth. After all, if he had used all of his powers, we wouldn't have a Savior. If he would have used all of his powers, nobody could have arrested him and taken him captive. They took the Almighty Son of God and nailed him on a cross simply because he didn't use his divine powers. Paul wrote of this in his letter to the Philippians. He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. He humbled himself. He did not use all of his divine knowledge and divine powers. By his death on Calvary's cross, he paid the price to redeem and deliver us from sin, death, and the power of the devil. His blood has cleansed us from all sin. And the message of forgiveness, peace, and pardon through Christ is a message that can silence all of the enemies of our souls. We can say, in the face of the enemies of our souls, with the Apostle Paul, even death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Long before it ever happened, the psalmist reported on the Savior's victory. He wrote, you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. You have crowned him with glory and honor. The psalmist foresaw what the evangelist John wrote years later, many years later, in the book of Revelation. John wrote, I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. And then the psalmist adds, You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. Jesus' dominion over the works of God's hands is expressed in his words just before he ascended into heaven. All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Again, the psalmist adds, You have put all things under his feet. And that was fulfilled by Christ when he ascended on high. The apostle wrote to the Ephesians, God raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The Savior's victory, which he gained for us over sin, death, and hell, should move us to say with the psalmist from the bottom of our hearts, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name over all the earth. The prophet Isaiah wrote many times about the promised Savior, the coming Messiah, and he gave to him those majestic names. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The most familiar name of our Savior is that name, Jesus, which was first given both to Mary and Joseph prior to his birth. You shall call his name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. The name Jesus means Savior. He is our exalted Redeemer, of whom the apostle wrote, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, and of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. It is your responsibility and mine to carry that name throughout the whole world. Let's not fail in doing it. Amen. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We give thee but thine own, whate'er the gift may be. All that we have is thine alone, a trust, O Lord, from thee. May we thy bounties thus, as stewards true, receive. And gladly, as thou blessest us, to thee our first fruits give. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for preparing the kingdom of heaven for us through Jesus Christ, your dear Son. and for making us members of the same through faith in him. Oh, what joy, what hope, what peace is ours through believing in Jesus. We know that for his sake you now rule us with your grace, pardoning all our sins, and that you will give us everlasting life in heaven. No longer are we held in the bondage of fear and the power of sin, but trusting in your Son, we are able to live victoriously over sin to the glory of your name. O Holy Spirit, continue your work in us, that we never lose our hold on everlasting life. Led by you instead of our sinful flesh, may we always seek first the kingdom of heaven, putting your word and the promise of everlasting life it brings ahead of everything. O Spirit of God, extend the preaching of the gospel to the entire world, so that all may hear the wondrous message that Jesus was born, and that he lived and died and lives again for them. Cause people everywhere to accept the kingdom with repentant and believing hearts when it is offered to them. And make each of us able and willing ambassadors of the kingdom, boldly proclaiming salvation in Jesus' name to others. Open our hearts to give generously to the cause of Christian missions, and remember the many missionaries throughout the world. Dear Heavenly Father, bountifully bless the lives of all who enter your kingdom through faith. Hear the prayers of your servants as we cry to you when we have all kinds of trouble and sickness and sorrow and want or care. Give us comfort and help us at all times. Forgive our many sins, strengthen us, and give us day-to-day victory over the temptations of the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh. Enable us to keep the faith, and that we may stand before Christ at his second coming to receive the crown of life. We ask this in his most precious name, who also taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Grant, we pray, Almighty God, give us a steadfast faith in Jesus Christ, a cheerful hope in your mercy, and a sincere love to you and to all our fellow men. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and rules with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.